Welcome, everybody, to another Christmas-themed, but it's still one of our regular episodes of Fried Rice Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Rice. Let's get fried. With me, as always, is Brennan. Shipley, up to Boston.
Hello, everybody.
With me, as always, it is Michael. He's never gonna die, and that's okay with me because he's my favorite zombie. My favorite zombie. It's Larson.
Hey, everybody.
And again, I'm Andy Rice. Welcome to another episode of Fried Rice Podcast. We are trying to make these more streamlined, more accessible, more easy for you to the listener to enjoy. And
you sound almost like a robot.
This is the AI version. Yeah. So let's get into it. What are we smoking this week? I bought half an ounce of
that big jar this time.
Yeah, lemon cherry gelato times or crossed with BX1, whatever the fuck BX1 is. It's an indica hybrid. It was 14 grams. I think I'm down to half of that. But it's been pretty dank so far. Yeah. I might be a little allergic to it, but that's okay. I like getting high. In the pipe, because Brendan's not a bong man, what'd you bring?
I brought a donut shop. It's a cross between Holy Moly and Gelato 441.
That is the exact coffee I have at home.
Donut shop. Yeah. It's pretty good. I've been enjoying it. It's 7 gram small nugs, so they're cheaper. I don't know why they make small nugs cheaper, but I'm okay with it because I like small nugs.
I like small nugs too.
They're going to be broken down anyways, so what's, you know.
Packaging. I always put in a grinder anyway. I got to break them in half to put them in the grinder. What does it matter?
Yeah, I was like, fuck yeah, cheaper? Cool, okay, I'll take it.
Packaging on that looks delicious. Like the actual donuts look really great. Yeah. Awesome, and Mike's getting a little bit of the bong token, a little bit of the doing what he can with his limited capacity over there.
I like smaller bongs if we're going to use bongs. That's how I feel.
We're going to get a smaller bong. The message is loud and clear. Andy's hospitality of providing a bong every time needs to be smaller for the people.
I'll buy you a bong for your birthday.
Well,
bong that I feel appropriate for us to use.
Keep an eye out for
a while.
Andy Rice birthday extravaganza coming in February. Yeah. We'll have a time and location soon. Make sure you come out. It's going to be in Laughlin.
He needs Ken's near Laughlin. This year.
What?
Ken's.
No.
Ken dolls.
No, I don't. We're not even talking about that when I mentioned the birthday stuff.
Yeah. What is the other thing we're going to be having at the end of this? What is that called?
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah. I'm
I
excited
to talk
for this.
About that because we're going to try it for the first time today.
Yeah. This company I found online, just advertising on Facebook, it's called Canna Dips, and they are infused like pouches. They have a bunch of different kinds. The ones I have right now are CBD infused, and they're kind of just more for like mouthfeel than anything. Kind of if you know, they're like Zen pouches, but cannabis, so non-nicotine, nothing like that. These ones have CBD. The ones I have at home have CBN and melatonin
for sleep.
Fucking, they put my ass down.
Yeah, like if you don't remember to take it out before you fall asleep, that could be bad.
Last night when I had one in and I'm like sitting there and I'm like, all right, I got to take this thing out because like I forget it's in there. And like the nice thing about those ones is like they actually have like another top on the lid that you could take off, and it's like storage pouch for like used pouches. So it's like perfect for that.
Don't you want to throw those away?
Yeah, I throw them away in the morning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But like,
but
it's still
to get up out of bed and go throw it away.
Yes, because I'm passing out.
Just fling it across the room, pick it up off the wall.
They're pretty good. These ones are mango,
nice.
Mango flavored, tropical mango. Ones
I'm
I usually
looking
get
forward
like
to that because I'm looking for something I can. That's not. I want to try those because looking for something that'll mellow you out through the day, but not put you to sleep and not, you know, make you so high like driving. Well,
The other ones they had were that I tried the first time I got them were THC. It was like THCP or like a different letter after the end of it, and like those were kind of interesting. Like I couldn't really tell if they were really doing much because like I put one in and keep it in for a little bit, and then I would wait. Like, I would do that in the morning, kind of not smoke and kind of just wait and see how that felt. And, I mean, it felt like a mild kind of, you know, slight mind altering, but not very much, just a little bit, just to kind of take the edge off. And they were great, but those ones are expensive.
For what the cost to benefit isn't there.
Yeah, it's not there.
Okay.
No, it's not worth it.
Okay. CBD to me has always been kind of a Wild West science now.
Yes, it is. Where it's
who
don't
knows
know what
the fuck CBD does. Like, I think one time I had a water that was infused with CBD and it made me feel better.
Yeah.
But then it could have just been drinking a fucking bottle of water. Right, makes everybody feel better.
Sure. I think these are more for if you're, you know, if you already do nicotine pouches or tobacco, chewing tobacco, and you want to swap to something healthier, these are healthier, more viable options. They give you the mouthfeel that you want, that you desire, but there's no addictive qualities to it, so it could help you kind of wean yourself off of addictive nicotine, if that's what you're trying
to do. This has helped you quit smoking as well?
No, not yet. This is more for, like, when I'm home.
Oh, okay.
When I'm home, I won't smoke as much.
Okay, I just thought the nicotine pouches.
These I usually leave at home, but when we have longer episodes, I need some nicotine at some point, so.
Hey, you're one of the few smokers I know that doesn't go out and have a smoke in between this. It's amazing.
Yeah,
it's pretty great.
Yeah, that's what those are for.
Well, there we go. Now, that's the secret. All right, well. Let's get into it. The movie we're reviewing this week is a fucking classic. It's National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, starring Chevy Chase. It's a continuation of the Vacation series, which started with Wally World, went to Europe, has a Christmas. There's some Vegas and a reboot.
Was this one before or after Vegas?
Not before.
This was European. 89, so it's got to be before. Yeah.
It's Wally World, European,
then
Christmas. Vegas.
Yeah.
And then not reboot, because it's a continuation of, because isn't Chevy Chase's Clark Griswold, isn't he? Or wait, because it's Rusty. It's Grown Up Rusty.
Yeah.
Is that who it is Ed Helms plays Grown Up Rusty?
Yeah.
Which I'm okay with that. It's another,
which
it's just another
third
vacation.
Rusty,
yeah. Yeah, because
that's the third Rusty.
Yeah, I know. The Rusty we get is Big Bang Theory Rusty.
Yeah. Which is the only time he ever did it, right?
Wasn't he in this one and European, or was it
this one
in Vegas?
No, I think it's this one in Vegas.
Okay.
I think they kept Johnny
the same two, the kids, and they changed them up again.
It's amazing when you look at this movie who all's in it. It's just insane.
Yeah.
Well,
back and looking.
Yeah.
And what they're up to now, because if you, the guy that plays Eddie.
Oh, yeah, he's crazy now.
He's
Quaid.
Insane,
he's insane,
dude.
Randy Quaid, yeah.
Randy Quaid.
Randy Quaid, he's insane.
His brother.
Yeah.
He goes on webcams, and he, like, fucks his wife while wearing masks of other people.
Yeah.
I didn't know about that part.
Oh, no, he's insane, dude. He's
you never saw that?
No, I didn't know about that
you
part.
See, no, he's like,
insane.
Okay.
Think I knew about, like, the aliens and stuff like that, and, like, the different, like, political stances he's taken.
That's
but
fine. He's allowed to have opinions.
Well,
what
I'm
not okay with is, like, he literally, his whole thing now is he has, like, a webcam that you go to. And
so he's got OnlyFans.
He's got OnlyFans where he fucks his wife.
And it's, like, sometimes it's, like, out in the woods and shit. It's weird. Geez.
And he'll put on, like, a Bill Clinton mask and fuck his wife, dude, or something. It's like, and then he goes, like, the government's gonna, you know, like, he's like an Alex Jones. If Alex Jones fucked his wife
like
wearing a Bill Clinton
mask. Alex Jones lost his mind, double the amount.
It's what InfoWars is going to be now that The Onion owns it.
He was just ahead of his time, because that's OnlyFans,
that?
Man. He was ahead of his time. That's OnlyFans.
It's OnlyFans.
Unfortunately, that got the judge clawed that all back yesterday. So,
what?
Nobody knows what's going to happen now.
With what?
Alex Jones has it back.
The satirical site The Onion purchased
I saw
InfoWars.
That. They purchased,
but now I guess it's getting rolled
back.
Purchased
it all
debt.
Back, so I don't know what's going on. Nobody knows yet what's going on.
That's that would have been so great.
The Onion having Alex Jones.
I saw someone breaking it down on YouTube, and the guy's just like, after at the very end, the Onion executive, after the winning the case, it's like, where are you off to now? Oh, nothing. I just have a few emails to send. And it's like, he's going to send it out to all the followers, some bullshit, right? It's going to be great.
But basically, it turned out that it looks like they didn't do a true auction on it. So the bankruptcy judge is like, no, you can't do that. You can't take less money because you like the people that are doing it.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
So okay.
It's one of those things. It's like technically some technicalities that were probably
not
followed.
So they used the fact that they had already been, like, Alex Jones had already villainized, because it was the Sandy Hook families that used their considerable their money. The money that he owed them to then, like, buy the company from him. And I guess that could skew somebody's judgment if they're just like, the auctioneer's like, yeah, I'm going to give it to the victims of the people that you fucked over.
Exactly.
And you're not going to make as much money from it. But
that doesn't follow bankruptcy law, though, is the problem.
Yeah, the money he makes goes to them anyway, though. And what's crazy,
technicality, though.
I saw a lawyer break it down. If he goes and makes another InfoWars and calls it something different, they're entitled to that money, too. They get money until he pays off his $1.2 billion. Yeah. They get all the money that he makes. It's like, to a certain degree, he gets a livable wage or whatever.
Right, yeah.
But, they. So he, if he even becomes successful again, brings his followers, it's just, it doesn't matter. They get a piece, which I like.
That's good.
Because you shouldn't, I mean, what a fucking bad take. What the worst take, maybe historically,
no,
one of the worst takes.
It's historically the worst take of all time.
One of, it's like, worst tragedy of all time in American history, maybe. Pearl Harbor, 9/11,
in our
time. And then you say it didn't happen?
Well,
ooh, what
it was kids. It was
crisis actors.
It was
what
the
a
worst.
Fucking
like,
monster,
yeah.
dude.
Yeah. Like, I felt like that day was more impactful in our lives than 9/11. Even though, like, I vividly remember 9/11, I just felt like that was, I feel like it was much more
because
real.
Because it was children.
Because
like,
it was
yeah.
children. They were young kids. Like, it was just like,
and
fuck.
I mean, I don't really want us to spend a lot of our Christmas vacation movie time on Sandy Hook, but didn't expect that to happen. But
get real.
I say it's also because I think it was targeted.
Yeah,
is another aspect that changes things. When sure, 9/11 was targeted, the planes, but it's a mass casualty situation.
Yes.
A lot of nameless, faceless people. We saw them on the news, but. It's a lot different when it's like we actively saw the standoff like taking place on the news.
Yeah.
Just like Uvalde. All right. Christmas Vacation starring
Welcome to
Chevy
our
Chase.
Comedy podcast.
Welcome to our comedy. Jesus Christ, dude. These tangents are getting dark lately.
Fucking, what is it? The sad seasonal whatever depression.
Seasonal effect, yeah.
It's kicking in, man.
Seasonal depression.
Yeah.
So this is Christmas Vacation. What a delightful, cute opening animated intro. Come on, guys. Get in the Christmas spirit, you son of a bitches. Stop thinking about school shooting. Just
the transition.
I had to get myself in it, guys. I'm a consummate performer. I got to keep this train moving. Or we can watch videos of trains if we want. We want to have a moment of train silence while we...
Why is it we are always the most off-topic when the movie's great, when it's a good movie? Like, it's... We can't talk about the movie when it's a good movie, but when it's a shit movie, we can't shut up about it.
Singularity. I just have nothing but straight bad facts to share about this awful movie. But then
we
Christmas...
do more research into it and everything.
Christmas Vacation starts off with a delightful tangent.
It is. It's one of the best cartoons. Well, so I would have liked to just watch that whole like a 30-minute cartoon. It would
be
great.
The song, the song has a different feeling for me because my wife will like... constantly change her ringtone to that song, and it starts out that it's that time, you know, and it's a ringtone, so it's not very long, and it keeps repeating over and over, and she'll sit there and not answer her phone because she likes the song, and I just fucking answer the phone or silence it. Like, what are you doing?
My mom has a ringtone that goes ring ring ring, and it just goes louder and louder, and she can't hear, so she just lets it go on and on and on. It makes me so insane.
My mom for a good 10 years had It's Hard Out Here for a Pimp from Hustle and Flow.
That's awesome.
She saw that movie or heard that song, and she's like, Andy, I don't know what it's called, but it's hard out here for a pimp. What is that song? I love the beat. I love it. And I was just like, it's from a movie called Hustle and Flow.
That's great.
It's a Terrence Howard, or, you know.
Yeah.
And then she's like, yeah. And I gave, and I found it on an app, ringtone app, and she loved it.
That's
great. Just a 50-something-year-old woman running around with Hustle.
So,
yeah. I don't know if she ever watched the movie. Maybe, I don't know. But it's just funny. that was her life. I agree with you. Would be a great animated special. By the way, randomly, kind of off topic, I know. The Halloween Tree is a Halloween special I've never heard about, never seen it. It's an animated short by Ray Bradbury, author of Fahrenheit 451 and other things. He narrates it. He's totally behind it. And it's a cute little animated, like, it's these group of friends all getting ready for Halloween, and they're all like, hey, can't wait to meet our friend, like, Mike. It's like, can't wait to meet Mike. Mike will be so cool tonight, whatever. And they all get there, and Mike's not there, and he goes to the hospital. And so then they kind of go on this, like, spooky adventure in their costumes on Halloween night in the 80s, like, on this, like, cool adventure. And the animation style's really pretty. It looks like a children's book brought to life. So not a lot of fluid animation, but, like, a lot of, like, as the kids are walking, you'd see, like, a hand-painted kind of forest behind them or whatever.
South Park
kind of,
style.
Well, no. I wouldn't say South Park style.
Well, that's what they do, though, animation-wise. Yeah, yeah.
This is its own thing. But it's beautiful. It's pretty. It's just random. Sorry, it's just I never heard of it. Halloween's behind us now, but it's, you know.
Still stuck on it.
What week is it?
Yeah. Sorry. So we watch this cute little animated Santa getting all goofy and having his own Christmas vacation moment because it's basically the Clark Griswold Santa, which made me think Chevy Chase, if they had done a little bit earlier, if they had done the Santa Claus. With Chevy Chase instead of Tim Allen?
That would have been a rated R.
I can't picture it.
He had his moments of kid friendliness, but there was definitely hidden adult jokes in there. Like all of these movies, vacation movies.
Yeah.
They're somewhat kid friendly, but they're still
very adult.
Yeah.
They're for sure PG.
This one feels the most kid friendly out of all of them.
Feels the most kid friendly.
Yeah. I know. But there's no nudity.
There's
a lot of implied.
Yes.
But the other ones have straight up titties.
Yeah.
So
the one scene in here that maybe is one of the most evil things I've ever seen in a Christmas movie.
Okay, well we get to it.
Yeah.
Will you point it out?
Yeah, I will.
Okay, good. Because I'm curious.
I'm curious which one you're talking about.
Credits wise, last week we did Planes, Trains, and Automobiles by directed and written by John Hughes. This movie written by John Hughes. This is our second Hughes
also
movie
John
in a row.
Hughes, yes.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that when I picked it.
Yeah.
But John Hughes wrote this one, which gives it like a cool vibe, I think. Yeah. Fun animated opening. Everything goes wrong. It's great. Young Big Bang Theory is in this. That log truck that they go under when they're first driving. So we get the best opening ever to a vacation where he's driving and the truck behind him. Here's the mechanics of this. The truck behind him wants to pass. Okay. And he goes, and he does the dick move where when he tries to pass, he speeds up. But the truck gets in front of him anyway, and then starts to kind of brake check him a little to be like, fuck you, Doug.
Yeah.
Now, as they're going at high speeds, this log truck is hauling fucking ass, because not only does it catch up to them from out of fucking nowhere, it matches speed with them. So as Clark's trying to go, like, presumably 80 miles an hour behind this truck. This guy must be going 95, 100 mile an hour truck to get up there. The logistics of it. I'm just saying, like, if you physically had be there.
The truck appeared, because after the first time that the pickup truck passes him, he's like, oh no, I'm going to pass them. We want these people behind us. And he gets in front of them, and then he slows down. And then the next frame is when you get the big truck and the pickup truck behind him. And he's driving slow, and they're both like, you know, get ready to go around. So he was kind of being a dick in that sense, that he had to be in front even though he was going the slowest.
Yeah, okay. Got you. Okay, yeah. Thank you for explaining. That does fix my brain a little bit, because it was broken on that a little bit. How did they get that tree out of there?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Not only did they walk out to the tree, they like couldn't have gotten the car out to where they walked to. Yeah. They couldn't have tied the thing around the tree and pulled
it out
with their
car.
They didn't have a chainsaw. They didn't have nothing. That's the most ridiculous thing. They just said, fuck it. This is my first note, and it won't be my last. Boy, do I relate to that posh couple. I would not enjoy living next to the Griswolds. I'm just saying.
You did recognize her, though, right?
It's Elaine from, I don't know the guy, but it's Elaine from Seinfeld. I relate to this couple so hard. All they want is a peaceful, quiet existence in their nice home. Yeah. Like, I love it. They keep a clean home. They buy, like, fancy stuff. They keep to themselves. No children.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, they're the best. They're not even jerks to Clark. They say snide stuff about him, but, like, okay, That's their own personal conversations. Like, people are going to talk shit about people.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not a nice thing to do, but it's also not to your face. It's not making fun of you. Like, they give him a little bit of hassle because he's chopping down a tree the size of a fucking, like, way too big. It's like, what are you going to do? And then he literally breaks their shit, you know? Like he's a dickhead, Clark, in this movie. So anyway, I relate to them. That's my first note on that. After Clark cuts open the tree and he gets sappy fingers.
Oh, that's great.
The bit where he's in bed and with the magazine. He's like,
everything.
Trying to get him off, and his wife just instinctively pulls it off because she's been through this before.
And then she's got the thing.
Yeah.
Bro, I feel like, and of course, this isn't the first trope of this, but if, like, doesn't it kind of feel like Clark Griswold is the prototype for your Homer Simpson, for your Peter Griffin, like,
yeah.
Where it's a constant fuck up with a hot wife who forgives them constantly,
a wife they don't deserve, pretty much.
Yeah, except recently, in the last few years, Family Guy has made it. If you're paying attention, Lois is cheating on Peter. Like, that's a fact. There's been with just probably random people. It's not a take, Mike. Here's the thing. The only reason I say random people is because we don't know any of her lovers. It's just there's a scene in particular I'm thinking of where Peter's doing something and she and a man enter a hotel, like, together, and they're going to fuck, and she's like, sees Peter, and she, like, pushes the guy into the hotel to, like, go in there. So, like, she's 100% cheating on Peter. And I think Seth MacFarlane's okay with that because he's like, of course she's cheating on him. He's a fat fucking loser who's a fuck up all the time and, like, constantly makes her life worse. And she's a hot piece of ass that, like, everybody wants. So, like,
isn't there an episode where Marge cheats on Homer?
Okay. Now, the Marge and Homer thing is sacred to me. There is two instances where they cross the line. There's Homer and his coworker chick, where they go on a work retreat, and she, like, is young and she's hot and she, like, is totally into Homer for some reason. She even makes a shirt of, like, the two of them together as, like, a couple or whatever. And she makes a pass at him, like Jim in The Office.
Yeah,
he says no and he walks away, which is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
He did good Homer, and he hasn't cheated on her since. And I think they completely wrote that out of his character, where he doesn't even ogle women as much anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, now he's just a dumb, nice guy who loves his wife,
which
I like. Marge, on the other hand, Marge took a bowling lesson from a French guy. I think his name is Jacques. And she was really into him. She thought he was fucking hot as fuck. And he is a womanizer, and he likes to fuck married women.
Yeah.
And so he put all the moves on her, and she at the last minute resisted until, I think it was season 32, 31, where he makes an appearance again and her feelings return. So that's a little bit suspect. And then also, if you go into their past, depending on what iteration of, like, how they met and how much either Homer, she cheated on someone else with Homer, which is how they started their relationship, like, she was dating that guy that becomes super rich later, the nerdy one, the one that's, like, kind of modeled after Bill Gates a little bit, Arnie something or whatever. He's like, and he's a nerd in high school, and he asks her to prom, and then I think she leaves prom to be with Homer. Such a fucking bitch thing to do, because, like, that guy was sweet. He was like, well, nope. He tried to sexually assault her. Let me go back. He was not sweet. In my mind, I'm thinking of just the beginning, Arnie. Not he tried to biff rape her from Back to the Future.
She rightfully left him.
Yeah, she rightfully said, fuck you, you gross piece of shit, and left. Yeah. Just wanted to correct that. I don't want to be pro Arnie Ziffler or whatever his name is. Back to the movie. Sorry, guys. Someone said something.
Something and got him on a tape.
Yeah,
I don't
that was one
remember.
Of you motherfuckers.
I don't remember the point that was started.
I don't know. Sap fingers.
Sap.
Somehow got us there.
Yeah.
The advent calendar is a great transition mechanic for this movie.
Yes.
Every time because it's not every day, which I like. It's like we're skipping. It's like the 18th is when we start, And then it's like the 22nd, yeah. And then it's Christmas Eve, and then it's Christmas Day. And we get this through just a little advent calendar guy opening up, which I really love advent calendars.
Good way to show time passes.
And again, what's lovely about advent calendars, which I absolutely love, is you go on Amazon.com, right, to buy an advent calendar.
There's a bunch.
And it doesn't matter. There's no specific yeah. year because you're just opening up 25 days. Yeah.
And so, what's beautiful is they go on half price like everything else the day after Christmas.
Yes.
Yeah. So you just
buy I bought three last year. I did. Yeah. I bought three the day
and
after
they're
Christmas.
So, and some of them are cool. Yeah. I got my mom a little Pop Funko Harry Potter one. That's and cool. She got like a ton of little mini Hagrids and Harry Potters. And she loves Harry yeah. Potter. So like those are cute little things.
I actually got Nightmare Before Christmas last year, my nice. Granddaughter's.
Oh, yeah. Does the sure, sock yeah. ones lately is what she's been doing, yeah. like the ones that come with socks.
Oh, that's fun.
Character socks and stuff.
I don't, you know what, I don't want people looking at my feet.
Yeah,
so the
I mean,
less
I wear,
flash and dazzle. And
I wear the socks, but I wear pants over them. Like, I don't wear those, if I'm wearing shorts, I don't wear longer socks like that. Like
yeah, I don't need character socks.
Yeah, unless my kids, unless like, we go on a road trip and I let my kids pick my outfit for the car ride, you know.
Oh, that's
let them
fun.
Pick the socks.
Do you have to get out in the gas station?
Yeah.
And walk in looking all ridiculous?
Oh, yeah.
Have they ever done anything super silly?
Well, last time I went to California, I had gym shorts on, I had Dragon Ball Z socks, and a t-shirt in my Crocs.
Hell yeah.
And we stayed at the casino I worked at before, which is a nicer casino in California. And it was a Friday night, and there was definitely like weddings and shit, and like everybody's dressed to the nines, and I walk in with my kids who are wearing other Dragon Ball Z socks of mine up to their thighs because they're my socks.
Yeah.
And they're just like looking at us like, what is this family coming in, staying in this? And we're like, man, we got a suite. Like, we got a 2-bedroom suite in this bitch.
Fuck yeah. They thought you were Malcolm in the Middle, but
yeah, pretty much.
You were Malcolm in the suite, bitch. Yeah. That was, yeah.
Well, shitter's full.
That's a fun little tradition. You should keep that up forever.
Yeah, it's fun.
You
yeah.
should be an old man with your grown adult children, and they get to pick your outfit for. This is when you maybe when you don't have your when you're so old and you can't pick your own outfit yeah. anymore. On car rides, they pick it for you. Like
and
Mike's
wipe,
getting near
it's
that
their
age.
Turn to wipe my ass at that point.
Yeah, I'm not wiping your ass, Mike. You have a family that loves you, but you can still do the podcast if you're drooling. We'll wheel you in and we'll just blow smoke in your general direction. He uses a Tasmanian devil mug at work, Clark, and I was like, so he's an outward group, like an outward goofball. So like everyone else has regular mugs. He embraces the fact that he's like
he's a
funny, goofy guy.
He's one of us. That's one of the things about this movie. He is literally one of us.
Yeah, he really is an everyday guy.
Because didn't he have like a character tie at one point too?
Yeah, oh yeah, I think he does. Yeah. Yeah. Wait, does he get called out on that one?
Yeah.
Where someone's just like, with one of those stupid little Santa ties, he's like, I have one at home. Or whatever, doesn't he? Yeah.
I had, when I was back when I had to wear a tie for work, I had 50 characters.
That's my dad had a shit ton of them, too. I loved it.
My dad, when
he had,
my
like,
dad
Star Wars ties and shit.
I love when my dad wore the...
Every property there is, I had a tie.
It's great. Yeah.
The Grinch tie. My dad had a Jurassic Park tie, and I loved that tie. I don't know when he ever wore it. I think I stole it from him down the line.
Yeah.
But,
I'm sure my dad still has all of his ties in his closet.
Well,
him.
I finally got rid of it. I was like, I'm never wearing a tie again. When I made that decision that I am not putting a tie on again, ever.
Done.
Man.
And now I got to go to a wedding, so I had to buy a freaking tie. But I couldn't have worn one of those.
You couldn't have worn, you had to buy a nice tie for a wedding.
We keep saying ties. Something's triggering me, and I don't know what it is. Well, did we watch something sad with a tie rack recently? Where somebody makes a tie rack and then...
We read a book.
Yeah, you guys did.
The book we're reading is
the
tie rack.
That stuck with me so hard.
It's one
of the hardest scenes. You just keep saying tie, and I'm like, no, someone's coming from a broken family. Yes. This tie rack is going to get
Stinger.
Destroyed.
Stinger. That's insane.
Oh, yeah, Stinger by Robert McCammon. Sorry, I just kept hearing the word tie. I forgot that we forgot that that's what it was.
Dad and tie, which is what we were talking
Robert
about.
Robert McCammon is so detailed
that
you remember these things in vivid detail. Yeah. It's like you can't – he – talk about memory hacking. He hacks your brain
he
and puts these perfect memories
–
yeah. of like
what's
going to
be so interesting when we do watch the show because
the show looks
who knows
how
well
they
did.
Yeah, but we're excited because it's Robert McCammon's first ever to film adaptation or to any adaptation.
Yeah, worries me a little only because it's probably going to be the last too because he's like 90.
Oh, wow. No, he's not.
Nah, he's old.
He's less old than Stephen King.
Have you read any reviews on the show?
No,
I haven't.
I've stayed away from it on purpose because I was actually literally reading it. I'd never read Robert McCammon before until Andy had me read this book.
Yeah.
And it's good.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to see the show and compare them. But
we'll gotcha. See. Okay. Yeah.
And then I got to get you on another one of his books. The vampire one, They Thirst. Very good. Best vampire story of all time.
I was just reading at the back of this book. There was a whole list of his books, and it was talking about, I guess, all of his later stuff is one character.
Oh, like yeah, Matthew Corbett books. Speaks yeah. the Nightbird. That's a historical drama that, I mean, it's historical fiction. It's like a guy who goes to hunt down. But the thing is that I don't know about it is if it is supernatural or if it's not. But he's going back to, like, I know in the first one it's all about Salem witch trials. Okay. And he's going to stop them.
Is he a time traveler?
No. He's like a guy that's. And the thing is, I have the first book. I've been meaning to read it. But it's like one of those things is like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get myself into the early 1900s or the late 1800s, whenever this takes place, or like whenever the Salem witch trials. I don't know if I'm going to be able to transport myself there and be able to be like all.
Just watch Hocus Pocus before.
Yeah. There we go. Get the mindset. I'm excited for the show. But we get Bill Murray's brother plays Chevy Chase's boss. Which I liked. So that's a little bit of a crossover. The underwear chick that's hot for Chevy Chase when he's shopping in the mall.
That scene is the one. She was talking about troubles.
Yeah, he was hot for her. She wasn't hot for him.
It was not her. It was him. And he was a scumbag. Straight, maybe the worst portrayal of a scumbag who's supposed to be a fatherly figure in any movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was...
It was bad, Andy.
I agree with you on that.
It was bad, and his child was there.
Yeah. Hey, Dad.
But he does feel flummoxed.
Feels bad about it afterwards?
When his son catches him.
But the whole problem with the scene is not even all that. Let's forgive all of that.
Yeah.
Okay? Him talking about her tits so much?
Yeah.
Okay, my problem is... That's not even the problem. His wife's tits are 1,000 times better than hers.
Yeah.
It doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
Well, I hate to say this. I hate to say this old cliche, but even the hottest chick in the world has some guy tired of fucking her somewhere.
No, not Beverly.
I disagree with that as a fully notion, but it is one of those things that you can apply with like to one of these situations where Chevy Chase, Clark Griswold, has a super fucking hot wife who loves him, and she's great, and she's forgiving, and she's perfect. And honestly, she's like too good for him in 1,000 different ways. And yet, he sees just a young, attractive chick who's showing a little bit of cleavage, and he loses his mind like a fucking animal. I agree. I agree with you 100%. But it's like one of those things where it's like you lose appreciation for what you have sometimes.
But that's also been a part of Clark Griswold's character. We get it in every vacation.
Always
movie.
Is a perv.
Once again, though, this is a Christmas
movie. Yeah. They should have left that out.
They should have left that out of this movie. It did not add anything to this movie.
Well, especially his conversation starting, oh, my wife, she's gone.
Yeah, he said she's dead.
Yeah.
It was bad. Yeah. It was one of the most egregious.
But the reason I.
How do you say the word? Egregious.
Egregious
examples.
I agree with you. But here's the thing. The reason I think she's hot for him, there's no way
she's trying to sell.
No.
She's selling.
You don't have to pull your butt. You don't have to hike your fucking skirt up and show your leg.
That's
what's a little bit.
She's sex
1989.
Sells. Sex sells. She's sell. She's making that sell. She's getting that back.
Okay, fine. You're right.
Like
I'm one of those guys. I'm one of those easy targets because I thought, oh, look, she's into him.
No.
Well, look at me. I'm falling for the scam and I'm supposed to be the guy seeing the scam
selling,
play out.
Right? Yes. No.
Launching an ice missile through the via the gutters into the posh couple's house is very funny, but at the same time, I'm like, what a fucking asshole.
That was an accident.
Yeah. That one wasn't
You know what, Mike? when you live next to shithead neighbors, let me tell you something. Let me tell you a little story of little Andy here. We moved into a neighborhood, and we bought this beautiful home that had a pool in the back, and we were lucky to live there for as many years as we did. My parents worked so hard for us to live in that neighborhood and to live in that home. It was middle class, but we loved it. But our neighbor was this old man who spent all of his time sitting in his garage in a chair watching the neighborhood go by, right? And it's his fault that at some point we got rats because he was a hoarder.
Yeah.
And his entire garage was just full of everything. And these rats were, their trees were connected to our place. And so they would breed over at his place. And every now and then we get like a rat or two over. It was disgusting. But then, you know what he did? Every year, he put about, I'm not even kidding you, I think the tally was up to maybe 2,000 American flags or about 1,000 American flags in his front yard for 4th of July contest that they do around the neighborhood to see who wins. He won 15 years in a row or whatever. And then he got real mad and he told my dad about it. He's just like, yeah, they won't let me compete anymore. They made me a judge. And I don't want to be a judge. I don't own all these flags just to be a judge. So what he did was he put a 30-foot fucking flagpole right in the front yard, like with lights coming down from to illuminate it at night. And it's a huge fucking flag. So for probably the last 10 years of me living there, I've just been able to be like, yeah, I'm the one next to the flagpole. What do you mean? Oh, you'll know.
You'll know.
Just go down the street. I'm the one of the flagpole. And it was a very defining feature of that home. But yeah, again, posh couple just gets fucked over with that that gutter missile. Jesus Christ, they did nothing to deserve that. Nothing. We're supposed to think they're enemies. Why? Because they work out, wear matching clothing, and love each other.
Yeah,
assholes. Oh, terrible. Reminded me very much of the chickens from Arrested Development. The chicken noises that the family makes. It's a running bit that in Arrested Development, they all go like, you're a chicken. And then they start doing, instead of going cluck, 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 they are whatever, or paka, they go like, a loopy doop, a loopy doop. And everyone's just like, that's not what a chicken sounds like. But then another family member has a completely different chicken. One point, they're all calling one guy a chicken, and there's like five of them doing things
completely
that aren't
different.
Like chicken.
Oh, that's great.
So when I think of that, I think of the drum roll scene from Christmas Vacation. Give me a drum roll. They're all just doing random stupid shit around him. And he goes, joy to the world. And then I love that. That's one of the most iconic yet epic letdowns. It's epic. If it had worked, I would have also been sold on that moment and been totally fucking happy with the results. The fact that it didn't work is a letdown, but at the same time, super epic buildup. That's how fucking you write movies. That's how you do movies.
See, but after the letdown, that gives me so much anxiety when they start looking at all of the power strips and just all of that. I'm just like, oh, fuck, that house is going to catch on fire. Like, yeah, they're going to die. It's not okay.
I saw a YouTube short.
The dad in you comes out.
Fucking turn everything off.
It's going to be so expensive.
So much money.
That's my last thought. My first thought is, this is a fucking fire hazard. How am I supposed to sleep?
I just saw a YouTube short. It's a guy who's doing electrical work for an old lady. He goes and he sees the board, and he's holding up the thermal gun, and he sees one of them is like 200 degrees or whatever. And he goes, hey, so who did the electrical work for your house? She's like, oh, my nephew. And he's like, when did his house burn down? Yeah. Oh, a couple years ago. Wait, how'd you know his house burned down?
He's like, I saw that one, too. That was
great.
Great.
And then also, a little side note, when I used to date a girl whose dad had a house in Long Beach, or parents had a house in Long Beach, and we went to their Christmas. There's a very, very rich, right on the ocean, like their backyards or their front yards, like a pier type of deal neighborhood in Long Beach that's like fancy beyond belief.
Yeah.
And they do Christmas right.
Christmas decoration.
Yeah. You go up and you walk up and down. It's a perfect like loop of, you know, like probably like 1 mile total, but like that someone did the Christmas Vacation where they did I think it's the same amount of lights. Yeah. I think they did exactly what he said, and they did it. They had a little sign saying this is accurate. They had a Clark hanging from the ladder, yeah. Right? Perfect. I saw also someone complain, a video where the cops got called because someone had a Clark hanging from a ladder.
They thought it was a real person.
And they thought it was from the gutter hanging, thought yeah. It was real. And
I do like that about that scene in this movie, though, where he files down the ladder.
Yeah.
He just looks like, oh, it was fine.
Yeah. He's like, oh, shit, that could have been worse. Yeah.
No one saw that. Yeah. Like, nothing happened.
And then also, I saw just a random, a Halloween thing that was similar. They did the Stranger Things. I don't know the reference yet, but it's some chick floating up in the air. They found a way to make it look like it's floating, and it was freaking people the fuck out. So they like told her to stop. But anyway, just decorations, people. Mike, I wrote Mike on this note. So let's see. Wait, why did I put Grandpa and the poster? Oh, Grandpa and the sexy poster is pretty funny. I like that. Mike, the attic scene. This movie is
basically slapstick.
Thank you.
I have that written 100 times.
Okay,
it's all straight.
You.
It's like reaching for the warm.
I love how he looks at the end. That's how I imagine Brendan looks when he's on a vacation with his family.
Yeah, yeah, right. It's about that.
Yeah.
Except for their Star Wars clothes and gym shorts.
Sure. I love the posh couple. No explanation, no other notes. I don't know what that means.
When the light finally turned on and all that was fun. When he finally got the lights on.
Oh,
and
they're just
just like falling. Oh, my God. Like, yeah.
Breaking they're falling downstairs and shit.
Yeah.
The lights, nuclear auxiliary power gets turned on at the plant. his meter just starts going.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
Okay, wait, I just have to know. Speaking of all this family's perfect in this is part of it. Part of this movie, which makes it so great, is everybody has these family members, right?
Yes.
You have a cousin Eddie?
Yes and no. I don't really talk to a lot of my cousins as much. Like,
okay, do you have a cousin Eddie?
I have, most of my family resides in West Virginia.
So you have a lot of cousins.
A lot of cousins.
I have.
So if you don't, like you said you do and don't, you don't then?
I don't talk with them very much. Like,
so you don't have a cousin Eddie at Christmas time?
Not at Christmas, no.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. That means you're the cousin Eddie.
Yeah. We have an exchange. We have.
If you don't know who the cousin Eddie is, it's you.
No, I stay home. I don't go anywhere.
That's the drinking game of Christmas Vacation. Who's the cousin Eddie?
That's funny. No, I don't go anywhere. People come to us.
Oh, yeah. He's the Clark.
Yeah. I'm the Clark. Except for I'm not flirting with the girl when I'm buying my wife Christmas presents.
Hell yeah. Take a stand, brother. Don't be that. Don't be a creep.
No, I'm looking at the product like, all right, which one of these am I getting?
Yeah. And maybe you could take a peek, but just don't make any. Don't be like, oh, hey, nice to titties.
My wife's dead.
My wife's dead. I'm buying this for her memory.
And it's like his brain to mouth function stopped working. It's like, oh, hello, titties. I mean, breasts. I mean, your titties.
Nipples.
I mean, you're so hot. Nipples.
It's nipples outside.
Nipples outside. I mean, it was
nipples?
Pretty funny, though.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy them. I just didn't. I was going to buy them, but they wouldn't have gotten here on time. So I'm just going to wait for the next paycheck. But I am buying those little moose eggnog cups.
Yeah.
That he drinks all the eggnog with. I love them.
Because they're supposed to be the Wally World moose, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I found like a bunch of them on Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
But they're, you know what? It's close to Christmas and they're all close to sets of two or running $30.
Yeah. You just wait.
I'll wait till February and I'll be like, yeah. The girl he gives to his boss. Oh, the gift he gives to his boss is the same size and shape as every other gift the boss gets.
Yeah.
If you notice, it's like a something and then a something. And so they all bought the boss like the same like pre-manufactured probably coffee and bourbon mix set or whatever.
Yeah,
it's pretty funny. The fucking sled scene. I don't know why I forget about this scene every time I watch this movie.
How bad the CGI was. How bad the green screen
was. Like Mac
was.
And Me.
It was so bad.
Yeah.
Very reminiscent of Mac and Me.
Yeah. putting the Astro Glide on and being able to like fucking zoom out. I mean, that was pretty funny, but insane.
I do like Cousin Eddie finding the sled later. And he's just like, what the fuck?
Completely unnecessary, almost titties, I think, is the pool scene.
his daydreaming scene.
Yeah, he's thinking about the pool. And then...
I think it was just kind of like they were like, oh, it's a National Lampoon movie. We got to do this. Like, because, right. you know, it's National Lampoon. National Lampoon was always known for pushing the envelope.
Did they do Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
I don't think they did Fast Times.
So were they referencing it in that scene, though?
No, I think that happened in the first Vacation, didn't it? Like, he goes skinny dipping with the girl or...
Oh.
Like, the girl that he's constantly passing on the road.
Yeah, okay, you're right. Yeah. I relate to the posh, clean, innocent couple. I forget what happens. Yeah, but I'm just like, I really relate to them. The fucking Pledge of Allegiance prayer is amazing. They leave it to the oldest member. She's like, I pledge allegiance. And they all, and then Eddie stands up and salutes or puts his hand on his heart. I love that. Did you know that the Pledge of Allegiance is a lot newer than we think?
Like 19 something.
It's 19 something, which is crazy to think about. And then, they're eating turkey. It reminded me a lot of my mom's turkey. The dry, it's so dry.
When they cut it open, it just.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mom.
Sorry, Mom. I love you. I love all the other food you make, but turkey's not one of your strong suits. I told this joke at the show I did last night, but it's like I went bowling with my mom recently. She actually made a turkey bowling, which continues the tradition of making inedible turkeys. She's great. The mashed potatoes and the rolls enough. I clean up. Eddie wanting the cat chair. The chair that the cat dies under. He's like, this is a pretty good chair. I could probably salvage this. You think I can have it? I think it's the most Eddie thing about this. I feel so bad for the innocent, clean, normal, decent, posh couple. I forgot what that was
probably
about.
The shitter's full scene.
Oh, yeah, shitter's when he's just full. Pouring the shit out. What
Merry
the
Christmas,
fuck?
Shitter's full.
Oh, I hate it. The squirrel scene is really funny where he's all of that. Eddie kidnapping Clark's boss.
Yeah, that's the best.
Is great. Yeah. And then comes back. I don't necessarily buy the change of heart from the boss. Like, I don't know if that would really happen.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
But fuck it. It's a Christmas miracle.
Well, the best scene is when he finally gets his bonus check that he was waiting on.
And he opens it up then.
It's a fucking thank you card.
Yeah, and what did you tell me the little thing was? Is that, like, I know that... So that wasn't improvised.
No. The insult that when he says all the slurs, the cuss words and everything, everybody, the whole family was standing there with basically cue cards. And that's why he was looking around, you know, looking around, using all the cue cards, having them strategically placed for that purpose to make it more comedic. And it was great. Like, they nailed it. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Smart way to do it.
Smart way to do it.
Super funny when he's like letting loose all those insults. Yeah. Really, 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 really great. I think that's all I've got to say about it notes-wise. Overall, the vibe that I get of this, the feeling it gives me, it's a great Christmas movie. It's super funny. It's heartwarming in some areas. The acting is great. It's silly. I think it holds up lovely. So I give it a B+. It's one of my favorite Christmas movies to watch every single year. B+, strong B+. How about you, Mike?
Solid B.
Solid
the only
B.
thing I take away from it has to do more with the age of it. It's more, like I said, the scene with that scene.
Yeah.
There's some things that could just be taken out of the movie, and it's a much better movie.
I agree with you.
It was kind of an unnecessary scene.
Yeah, just unnecessary.
It's one of those scenes that you kind of forget about anyways. Yeah. I think the only reason they use that scene is to establish what he's daydreaming about with the pool, because it's the same girl. And so it's like, you know, but... Both of those scenes could have been taken out.
Right. They have no effect on the movie other than to get some tits in there for no reason.
If Brandon doesn't give this a B+, and it ends up being a B because of that, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
As a reason. Yeah. Oh, by the way, everybody, at Fried Rice Podcast, we like to, until the end of the year, until we fix this problem that we found or this fucking...
We created for ourselves.
Our rating system is very simple. It goes from B to F, and then we add a W if it's a waste of time. So B plus in my case, is the strongest we give this. We're not actually saying this is less than an A. Mike just gave it basically an A. I gave it an A+.
Yeah, I would have to sleep with one eye open if I graded this any lower than a B+, because it's my wife's favorite movie. So
there we go.
I give it 5 out of 5.
He's
sketchy,
a man of the people.
Sketchy power strips.
5 out of 5 sketchy power strips. People, check your power strips.
Hilarious. We get into these, and we get to where the point, and I make the points about, they're generally Andy's points about the misogyny and stuff.
Yeah.
And then Andy's like, no, I want it to be the best movie ever. It's just hilarious how we switch roles completely.
Yeah. Listen, Mike, I need to be what I need to be when I need to be.
When I need to be. It's a when I need to be. I never really change.
I'm not the friend. I'm not the friend you need or deserve. I don't know how that expression goes when Batman says it, but I'm
great.
Here. So yeah, cool. So this gets a B plus. This is a B plus movie. B plus, 5 out of 5 million Christmas lights. And with that, we are going to jump straight into our favorite segment of the show. Well, I mean, it's somebody's favorite segment of the show, which is going to be recreational recommendations. Mike, can you give it to us this time?
Beep boop. Beep boop. Beep boop.
I'm making a note to never ask Mike again. Never ask Mike ever again.
It was his own take on it. It was great.
Well, yeah, actually, somebody heard yours and said, "Why?" Austin heard yours and was like, "Why is it so sad? Why is it such a sad bee boop?"
Bee boop.
Bee boop. Mike's is an aggressive bee boop. So, recreational recs this week.
It's sad because Austin's not here doing it.
I know, we miss him. We miss Austin. I am pretty much, I don't got nothing. I haven't really been watching anything. What?
You're downloading the game that you just got. We were talking when we first sat down here.
Yeah, on Game Pass.
I
haven't played it yet. Yeah, no, I haven't played it yet.
You
I'm excited.
It yet.
No, I haven't. So I'm not going to recommend it yet.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a new
I Game
Pass game.
You already
game.
Played it the way you were talking about it.
No,
you sounded
no.
excited.
He played the original one.
Yeah. I played the original one. This is going to be a different version of it. Yeah. It's okay. We'll. That's why I'm not. Probably next week I'll talk all about it.
Yeah.
But also, if we are going to talk games, Epic Game Store, which I'll rec a platform, which is Epic Game Store. If you have a PC, get yourself Epic Game Store. You just go to it once a week and you get the free games.
I was going
to
say I got all three. I got Epic, GOG, and
Amazon.
Amazon. Actually, there's four though. What's the other?
It's GOG. It's there's a bunch, but
yeah.
The one that's
but they almost
free,
all have free games.
Yeah, the one that's free this week. Oh damn! I need to collect
cars
some
on
free
there?
Games. Yeah, Cars is on here. That's fun. Big Bang Racing. This is on Amazon, but and then you always got to click this.
Too.
But the one that's free is a Castlevania Anniversary Edition.
Oh,
so it's all the old school Castlevanias, including the ones that are.
Oh, Dishonored Definitive Edition too.
Yeah, dude. There's so much.
Some games go through and claim them all.
You just
they
claim
are, just
everything,
go through,
and if you have everything set up the way it is, then it's easy.
And those change weekly.
Yeah.
Weekly, they put
and
games on.
You got to really be on it because, like, I missed out. They gave away Suicide Squad, Justice League for free one day. Fuckers, and I missed it.
Damn.
Like, they've given away so much. But, yeah, cool. That's what Epic Game Store, get yourself Castlevania. How about you, Brendan?
I mean, I guess on my spare time, I've just still been listening to the Game of Thrones books, and I'm, like, about to finish book 3. That one is Storm. I think it's a Storm of Swords.
Let's say that.
So it's 3 and 4 that are parallel on the books.
All of them are kind of go together.
Well, no, there's a parallel, but aren't 2 of them parallel? They're happening at the same time.
I think that's 4 and 5.
4 and 5.
I think that's 4 and 5. But I'm about to finish book 3, and a lot of things happen in book 3. A lot of big events, in my opinion. And it's great. Like it's been enjoyable. I mean, I'm doing audiobook version of it, and it's kind of, it's a little jarring with the reader kind of saying names differently than they do on the show. So it's kind of like,
Daenerys.
Yeah. Like it's some things are slightly different. So it's like, you get used to it, but it kind of throws me off a little bit, and then it gets my mind sidetracked for a second. But then I have to bring myself back into it because there's a lot going on. Like,
now
there's a lot.
Have they diverged from what you're watching already?
There's subtle differences. Yeah. There's some bigger ones. Like, there's a lot more characters in the book. That's one of the main things. A lot more characters. All of the just random background characters have names in the book, and it's like, you know, just many names.
Because he goes, like, he does indexes of, like, people in his world and shit. There's so many. Even watching the show, there's so many fucking names.
Yeah. There's a lot of characters, period.
They had to dumb it down for the show, but the book is, it's a lot. Like, it almost feels like the Bible, you know, Genesis in the Bible, like, with all the names.
Oh,
and this and that,
he begat him, and then this person begat this person, and like, Jebediah begat this person.
Yeah, it's insane. It's a lot. Yeah. And just the way he writes his descriptions of things, like, he'll go on for, you know, good 10 minutes about just the environment, you know, it's just kind of painting a picture in your head of the scenery.
Which is great.
Yeah, I mean, it's great, but there's some scenes where it's like, all right, I didn't need that much description. Like, some of the sex scenes and stuff.
Listen, that's why we were talking earlier about Robert McCammon.
It's
the exact same.
Yeah.
Because when I first started reading, I was like, geez, but as you go, it gets better.
It gets better.
But when you start reading an author that's like that, at the very beginning, you're like, Jesus Christ, is anything ever going to happen?
Exactly. But
we spent 3 pages describing his manhood. Like, what the hell?
Well, you need to know which way it leans, I guess.
And once you get into it, then it helps you later in the character development stuff. So
yeah,
it's like,
I mean, the manhood description and things like that. The sexual descriptions, I could use less.
That's him. Yeah,
that's him.
I
can use less of that. Like, I'm okay.
Yeah. Martin really wants you to know about the manhood. It's because it's like projection. He wants his manhood to look like the manhood he's describing.
Yes.
He thinks the manhood is, and we're talking penises, people. He wants the manhood to have a certain distinct silhouette in the sun. It's like, my manhood rose and the sun hit it at such an angle that I knew the time was past noon or whatever. He just uses it for what we would just take for granted. Yeah. He uses manhoods to his advantage in these books.
Yeah. But I mean, maybe in a couple weeks, it'll be 3 or 4 and 5 will be my new favorites, but we'll see. 3 so far has been my favorite book.
Oh, yeah. So we got Game of Thrones, book 3 from Brendan. We
just
have
jump straight
game
in. Fuck
store
it.
Launcher,
jump into 3.
Epic Game Store launcher for Andy. This has been one of the best wrecks of all time. Michael?
Okay, and we did, in an episode we recorded earlier today, just for timeline purposes, that's a Christmas episode, we talked a little bit about this already, but the only thing really extra I did this week is somehow I wrote myself into watching 4 hours of boxing, which I haven't watched in years last night. And that was last night in real time for us, which this will come out just in 2 weeks. We did as bad as when we talked about it earlier.
Tyson Paul, the Tyson Paul fight.
Watch the Tyson Paul fight and a couple other fights that preceded it, which the other fights were great last night. The Tyson Paul fight, though, is what I want to get at. People have been telling me, certain people, that we live in a simulation. I'm starting to believe them because that fight was as simulated as anything I've ever seen before.
Yeah.
That was
almost choreographed.
I usually don't want to say, you know, this shit's fake. But that was some WWE shit. Yeah. It was like some straight up WWE shit.
That was pathetic. Yeah. It was with the way Netflix crashed and everybody had to watch it on potato quality. Yeah. It looked like they were PS2 graphics. Mike Tyson.
It looked like Punch Out.
Yeah. It looked like Punch Out version of Mike Tyson. Yeah, and it looked like Jake Paul's been playing that game since he was a kid and he just knew how to all the buttons.
Just jab, right? Yeah.
Just stay outside of Mike Tyson's range and just jab, 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 jab. Throw 300 punches, 400
all
punches
jabs.
Instead of Mike Tyson's like 100. Yeah. And then, you know,
And it was.
So, what are you recommending exactly?
I'm recommending don't watch anything live on Netflix, maybe?
This is the first. God, man.
It's an anti-recommendation.
The power of Bebo, and you turn this into the most anti-rec.
I was going to say, or do, because we were pretty good, pretty busy last night. Like, it kind of, it was nice. Ran all three ovens.
It made you busy? Yeah. Well, I'm sure. Listen, I'm sure it's going to come out, and it's the numbers are going to be insane.
Everybody was watching it.
The fact that they could.
It's on Netflix. Yeah, everybody has Netflix.
Everybody has Netflix.
Or knows somebody that has it.
Or knows somebody, whatever. And every bar was playing it, which I don't know how that worked out.
That probably was.
Because that's generally not legal.
No.
But they were just putting it right in ads and stuff, so I don't really know.
Yeah, they were probably just plugging in a Fire Stick or whatever and just playing it. That's what they did at the other store.
Yeah.
They were playing it on their TV in the lobby, and I was like, it's all you could hear. And I'm like, damn, dude, like, your customers stand right here.
Yeah.
Like, how are they going to? He's like, we don't have any customers. I'm like,
we don't have any customers. Okay.
Like, shit, we've been busy. Okay. Like, sorry.
Well, they're in Old Blend. Their people can't afford a Fire Stick.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
$19.99 will break them, man.
Their Fire Stick is a stick on fire that can help them light fires at the trash cans to keep them warm.
Use them to smoke their meth.
Yeah. Those are their Fire Sticks. So great. We have Epic Game Store Launcher, a third book from a series that came out 25 years ago, it feels like. And, of course, the first ever anti-recommendation, don't watch anything live on Netflix. Netflix, please sponsor us in the future. We would love to be a part of your growing business.
Yeah, I would do a live event.
I would absolutely do a live event. So with all that said, we sadly come to a close of another beautiful and wonderful episode of Fried Rice Podcast, where if you've noticed, there's a lot less arguing, a lot less violence in the air. I think Andy's learning.
It's the Christmas spirit.
It's the Christmas spirit. That's what it is.
It'll come back next year.
Hey, when
worry.
Santa squeezes his fat white ass down that chimney, he's going to find the jolliest bunch of assholes this side of the nut house.
That's right.
Who says that?
Clark.
That's a pretty good line.
Yeah.
Is that what you wanted? You wrote that? It's like,
I want to use that line.
He's just going to use that line. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it. Well, I didn't use this for some reason in the Scrooged episode, which probably I should have, but thank you all for joining us. Well, I'll use it at the end if I can remember how it goes. But with us as always, it has been Brennan. Jingle bells, joy to the world. Brennan is a frosty snowman. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Did you just have a stroke?
I think he's in the midst of a stroke. Right now,
I'm running out of songs, and I'm breaking Shipley up to Boston.
Have a good night, everybody.
With us as always, it is Michael. He is kind of like our Santa Claus, if we're just going with someone who, by all rights, shouldn't exist, and yet here he is with a white beard. Larson.
Have a good night, everybody.
And I'm your host, and I already forgot the thing that I was going to do just a moment ago. So instead, I'm going to say ho, 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 and thank you for joining us. And to all a good night. Wait, Merry Christmas to what? Wait, what does the little kid say in Scrooge? That's what I was trying to think. What does little Tiny Tim say at the end of Christmas Carol?
God bless us, everyone.
God bless us, everyone.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's do one of those. Here, so you give us one of those, Brennan, at the very end, okay? Give us your Tiny Tim. You'd be Tiny Brennan, which is up here. It's little Nug Brennan is Tiny Brennan.
But need a voice, too?
I don't know. You do what you do you. I've been Andy Rice. This has been Fried Rice Podcast. And as always, Merry Christmas, everyone, and all to good night.
God bless us, everyone.
Aww.